Yo, we are back. We are better than ever. This is the Grizz 901 Post Game Show. I am your host, Daniel Greer, and we are presented to you by Bluff City Media. Nate will be joining me very shortly, as well as our special guest, Keith Smith. He's a contributor with Spotrac, but also has a lot of other things that are going on. He does the front office show with Trevor Lane. There's so much happening. There's so much going on with the Grizzlies, just in general. But we have to bring in more of the outside stuff, and this is the complete NBA talk, all about the trade deadline. So we're going to get a lot of that. But also, we're going to ask some Grizzlies questions. Also going to get a lot of questions from you. So if you could, any questions for Keith Smith once he arrives, go ahead and hit the hashtag Smith or hashtag Keith, whatever you want to put in there. As long as I can see something, I will make sure I get to it. But tonight's show is all about the game recap. We're going to get into as much as we can with Nate before we get over to Keith once he arrives. And after that, we will get into segment number two, which leads us off with Grizz Trivia. We're going to get into a lot about more about this, just in general of the trade deadline and what it will be, what we can look like with the Grizzlies and what it could potentially become. If anything, I have a big question about Derrick Rose I want to ask to Nate as well. And the last thing is we're gonna put you out the door, send you on your way happy with a little bit of the next game preview. But that's all we got. We're going to get into a lot of the comments, so make sure you come in and say your piece. The Grizzlies, they didn't play as bad as they did in the first half, and they ended up cutting it close. The Grizzlies lose 123-113. We're going to get into all that right now with Nate on the other side.
Night with salvage.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it turned out to be a lot better than it was. Like, all in all, the game sucked, but it did turn out to be much better. And so we have a lot to talk about tonight. We're gonna get to a lot of questions with Keith as well once he gets here. But initially, you know, kind of what's your thoughts on this game just overall in general, Nate?
Well, I heard there was some Trey Jameson slander going on in the first half, so I'm trying to dig that up and see what that was all about. But, I mean, let's be really clear. The first half was abject misery. That sucked. That was the worst I've seen the team. It's the worst I've seen Vince Williams' energy. I thought Vince was going to try and get tossed on purpose, to be completely honest. He was not happy. But then you come out, and the second half was like Grizzlies – basketball, which, to be clear, with Jaren Jackson Jr. out, I don't expect to see much of. Like, Jaren being out is just a bridge too far for this team to really compete night in and night out, much less against a team like the Knicks, who's hot as all get out and really has been crushing it lately and is looking to make some noise in the playoffs. So it's just a bridge too far. But they come out in the second half, and all of a sudden they're getting some stops. And then, I mean, it helps when you're 8 of 11 from 3 in a single quarter, like 6 minutes in, which is not the Grizzlies' MO. But listen, after my personal agendas were down as bad, like my personal Grizzlies agendas were in the 7th layer of hell. Like, Dante's Inferno had swallowed up David Roddy and Trey Jameson in the first half. But they came back with a vengeance and showed why I am a, as the kids call, ball knower. It balled out in the second half, dude. It was, listen, it turned into a really fun game after one of the most miserable halves of basketball that I was just praying for it all to end in the first half. So lots of good stuff. It was super fun to see. Super fun to see some of these guys show some things, and hopefully you get guys like Roddy that played with the most confidence I've seen since his rookie year. I mean, that's the most confidence I've seen David Roddy play with all year. Maybe it translates in him looking more like he did last year. Maybe it's just a flash in the pan. I'm just here for the good times. That's all you got in the Grizzly season.
I love it. All right, so Nate, I don't want to cut you off too quickly. You know, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get into more of your thoughts. We do have somebody obviously much more important than you. His brain is a lot bigger. He even looks better than you. So we're going to get into a lot of the talks about the trade deadline. People keep filing in here, but if you would, go ahead and get into the comments as you always do and hit up either hashtag Keith, hashtag Smith, whatever you want. That way I can see your comments. Nate's going to dip out But we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And then on the other side, we're going to have Keith Smith. So make sure you tune in or you're going to miss it.
Not just the level of individual talent that he plays, but it's also the level of his mind. We haven't gotten cross-court open shot this year. Right. We haven't seen that pass a lot. Number one, you got to respect him going to the basket. There's a roller. I got to watch the roller. He has the mind to be able to say, I see all of that, and now I see this guy over here. I'm going to get him this open shot. How shifty he is to always be going forward. It's usually side to side.
Yeah.
His dribble moves are side to side, but going forward.
Right.
Which is very hard to defend. I just want to get you, as many times can I get you to do this? But for him, it's not here. It is here, which is with are his moves to get down the floor. It's awkward for a defender to try to catch a cadence. Just you dribble. So now what I do is, now when you go put that ball down, I'm going for it. But with him, there's no, it's hard for my cadence. But what's my cadence for you? I don't know what it is.
Tune in to The Anthony Sain Show, Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Yo, we are back here at Grizz 901 Post Game Show. We're talking about all things NBA. We had to bring in one of the smartest guys in the room. He's definitely the smartest guy in the room right now because he is the ball knower. He knows everything about the CBA. Yes, yes. We're touting you up to that, Keith. Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA. What's up, man?
I'm the smartest guy in this room I'm sitting in because I'm the only one here. So I'll take it, though. I'll take it. That's good. I'm going to clip that, show it back to my wife and daughter. They'll tell me you're wrong, and then they'll move about their day.
Listen, we're never the smartest people in our own house. Nope. That's how it always is, especially if you do have a spouse or if you have any kind of kids, because I promise you, if you think you are, they'll let you know that you aren't very quickly.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get into your initial thoughts on the Grizzlies. And so I saw that you just put out a tweet about, you know, how well that they fought throughout this game. A lot of these guys, you won't even know, you know, if you're just a general ball watcher within the NBA or just in general with anything, because most of these guys aren't on a roster in the NBA, let alone barely even known the G League. But you also said that they could be contenders next year. Share your thoughts a little bit about this team, but also, you know, what the future might hold.
Yeah, I think if we talk about them right now in their current state, clearly ridiculously banged up. I mean, it's absurd. When they played Boston the other night, they had 13 guys out. Yeah. Like, that's a roster, right? Like, that's the entire roster. Like, that's just, you know, not nonsensical. And even in that game, even when they got blown out, they never stopped playing hard. And I think that's a testament to the guys, to Taylor Jenkins, to the coaching staff. Like, they're just out there battling. Right. And that's really great. And that's a really cool tone to have set for the rest of this season. I'm not going to be insulting here on your show, but the season's over. It's a lost season. Like, this is not, nobody's competing for anything other than all these guys who are competing for, I want to be a part of the team next year, right? Like, I want a roster spot. Like, this is what I have earned. Like, just look at Vince Williams Jr., right? It's second year of a two-way contract. Didn't even make it halfway through that second year before Memphis was like, we got to get this dude signed because this is, you know, he's too good for this two-way. And that's what all the rest of these guys should be looking at too, is like, hey, I'm going to fight. I'm going to battle. I'm going to prove either I should be on the roster, or if I'm already on the roster, like, I need a stick. I need minutes, all these things. And then if you flip that forward to next year, now you get a bunch of hungry dudes coming back and you got all these great players that have been out and have missed a lot of time are going to be back too. Yeah. And it's almost like you make a whole bunch of additions without actually having to go out and sign guys and trade guys. Right. And that's always, you know, I know that can be tough. It's a long way away, right? We're talking 8-ish months before we're going to see some of those guys back on the court again, but it's going to happen. And when it does, like, they're going to drop right back into being, in my mind, right around the top of the West. There's no reason why they can't contend with all the other teams at the top of the Western Conference. And they're going to have a great draft pick, whether they use it for themselves, they use it in a trade. They've got some other moves they can make. So they're really set up well. And it's the rest of the season, it's about taking those lemons and making some lemonade out of it the best you can.
Well, I think they've made lemonade out of Vince Williams, but also GG Jackson this year. Cause, you know, honestly, in a non-injury riddled season, you don't get to look at GG, you know, with real NBA minutes. And it's not even about the Grizzlies and what they can see out of him. It's really about kind of what he can see within himself on the actual NBA court, because realistically, these minutes are so much more important than what you're going to get out as a fan, as a viewer. And so I think it's really important for that. But a lot about Vince Williams and what he has become and what he looks to be in the future. Just looking at this roster, what it might actually be, but looking at him in general, I want to ask a question about Vince is, do you think he is a rotational guy, even on a healthy roster or a contending roster?
I think he can be. This is tough because anything you kind of say about guys like now, like people tend to take, even if it's slightly negative, it's like, you know, insulting one of their own children. And the reality is, I think he can be. I think his best role is probably as a backup wing on a really good team. Like I don't know that he's necessarily a starter, you know, in the NBA on a really good team. He may be. He's a little undersized. You know, I think he plays a little bit bigger than he really is. I want to say initially he came in listed at like 6'6", but I think he's probably closer really about 6'4", maybe 6'5", you know, in that range. But he plays big because he plays tough. He's pretty athletic, pretty good leaper. The big key for him is going to be to continue to shoot it well. If he continues to shoot it well, there's a place for him in the league, and there's a place for him in the Memphis rotation, because we all know if you're hard-nosed and get after it, they're going to find a way to play you.
Exactly.
And shoot so much the better. So I think there's a real chance he can be a long-term rotational player. And that's good news for a team that doesn't really have a ton on the wing, right? And obviously Desmond Bane is there on the wing, and I get that, and will be there, you know, moving forward. But outside of him, it's a bunch of guys kind of masquerading as wings or just trying to still figure out where their place is in the NBA.
Yeah, another solid shooting night out of Vince Williams, going 3 of 5 from deep overall. It was 6 of 17, but a lot of those were just self-inflicted, just stupid shots or just last-second shots. So, you know, let's go ahead and get into some of these comments. If you're in the comment section, go ahead and put in there, you know, ask Keith or hashtag Keith, whatever you put in there, as long as there's something in the beginning so I can actually see it. But the comment section, as always, is presented by Streetcars of Memphis. Any regular maintenance that your car might need, modifications from speakers, lights, lifts, and wheels, they can modify them all. Go ahead and hit them up now for an oil change, $55 for regular oil change or $65 for a full synthetic oil change. Let's go ahead and get into these now. All right, they've been coming in a little bit slower. I'm disappointing you guys tonight. Let's go ahead and go with this first one tonight. Dennis Hodges, who is more likely to be traded out of Roddy, Zaire Williams, or Jake LaRavia?
That's a good question. First thing I always look at with guys like that is what's the contract status? Obviously, Zaire Williams is a year ahead of either Roddy or LaRavia, but it's not so much so that it makes a huge difference. Yeah. I think he's got a bigger contract than either one of those guys do as well. Roddy's deal is, you know, it's for all functional purposes, it's barely above a minimum type contract in the league. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he fits there. I think he's actually showing some stuff with these other guys out where it is, all right, there could be a place. It's hard for him, right? The league is not no longer built for 6'5" power forwards. Like, it just isn't. That's not what, you know, that's not how the NBA plays anymore. As much as we all love to small ball, you better be super athletic or long. I think then that, to me, kind of leaves it between Zaire Williams and Jake LaRavia. Zaire Williams has shown stuff at times. And that is what's hard to give up on when a guy has already shown some stuff. So I think it's probably Jake LaRavia, just because if we're down to, all right, we got to kind of make a little bit of room on this roster. We get a draft pick coming in. We got some other guys we like. We got GG Jackson on a two-way that we'd probably like to get off a two-way. You probably start looking at a guy like LaRavia and saying, hey, maybe you just need a fresh start somewhere else and see if you can jump in a rotation on another team and kind of go from there. Because what's unfortunate is these are all just missed opportunities for him right now, right? He'd be playing 30 minutes a night on this team, and he just can't get healthy and get on the floor. And Zaire Williams, I would say the one thing that tips is contract's a little bit bigger. So if you need him in a slightly bigger kind of deal as a piece of salary matching, you probably move on from him instead.
Out of those guys, who do you, if you had to have a crystal ball right now and you had to project one thing or one guy to be the best of the three, is there any guy that you look at and say, hey, he is going to be, you know, in your opinion, the best NBA player out of those three?
I'm still going to go with Zaire Williams. I just think there's something there that maybe it doesn't happen in Memphis. He might be a second draft kind of guy where another team gets him and is able to give him consistent minutes. But I go back to, by the end of his rookie season, he was really starting to look like something. Start of last season was a little bit of a mess for him.
Yeah.
Then again, caught a little bit of momentum, gets hurt. And it maybe he's just one of those guys who every time he finally gets it going, he just, then he's out of the lineup again for a couple weeks at a time. But hey, there's just something there. He's already shown. He's got something a little bit more than Roddy or Laravia have. So I think that I would still lean towards him, but I'm not like super confident in it by any means.
Neither are we, Keith. Neither are we. All right, let's get to William Hines is asking a more general question for this year. And I want to ask your thoughts because, you know, Bane, Smart are all within coming back. I would say 2 weeks after the trade deadline. And so you're talking about maybe at the end of February, if not 1st of March, what do you do as a front office? Like, what would you do in general?
Yeah, one is they got to be 100% healthy. Right. It can't be 98, 99, 100% healthy. Drop them in there and let those guys run because I think that is a I would just, once they're fully healthy, play them, right? It's not it's not going to mess up your draft pick so much to let those guys play. And I think especially guys like Smart and Bane, they can help some of the other guys on the roster help you evaluate them, right? Because a lot of times what happens is it sounds good to say, just sit them and we'll just play all the kids and run with all the kids. But who's getting these guys organized? Who's getting them in the right spots? Who's, you know, like you mentioned, Vince Williams tonight, and I watched a good chunk of that game tonight knowing I was coming on with you. He took a lot of bailout shots, a lot of late in the clock shots. There was portions of the game where it felt like he was the only guy on the court who could create a shot off the dribble. So he was having to do that. And I think what happens is you get him out there with Bane or with Smart who can help set him up. Then you get a sense of, all right, what does he look like when he's playing in a more functional lineup, in a more real type of lineup. So I think you let those guys play, but they feel anything, get them out. And I certainly am not like, hey, bring them back and play them both 40 plus minutes a night. Like, that's crazy. Right. Just bring them back, play them enough where you feel pretty good about it and move on.
Well, there's a difference. Like, you can play them in easy minutes. And I think that's kind of what you're looking at is, you know, you don't have to play them down the stretch, hard minutes. You know, but I do expect them to come back and play. As our number one producer, Kenny, wants to say a little bit of shout out thanks for coming on. But then Austin comes. And he's asking about Luke Kennard. Luke Kennard is on an expiring contract, you know, next year. And so what do you do with him? Eventually it's a team option, right? So they could, somebody could take a risk on him this season and then eventually wash their hands of him. The Grizzlies could do the same thing eventually. So what's your thoughts on either one? Should the Grizzlies keep Kennard and go into a contending season next year or even trade him to get some assets this year?
It's very funny. If we were having this conversation a week ago, I probably would have been beating the drum a lot more for trading Luke Kennard than I am right now. And the reason for that is the Steven Adams trade cleaned up the cap sheet, the tax situation so much in terms of what it looks like for next season. Now, long-term, there's still issues that the Grizzlies are going to have to work through. That's anytime you have two guys on max deals, and for all intents and purposes, Desmond Bane is on a max deal. Jaren Jackson Jr. he's probably, if anything, underpaid on his deal right now. He's on a really team-friendly deal. That'll come up eventually when it's time to extend him. He'll probably either extend or he'll go into free agency. Hopefully they'll get him re-signed to a much bigger deal. And then from there, it's about, all right, we got to hit on the rest of the moves around these guys. Right. So when you move Adams, you moved off a lot of money for next year, dipped now. They're right in range of being being able to make another move or two and getting under the tax. And I think that opens the door to keep Luke Kennard, where if we were having that conversation before the Adams trade happened, I would have said, yeah, he's probably got to go because, one, he's probably the best trade asset they have right now that they would actually trade. Yeah, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr., they're better trade assets. They're not going anywhere. Right. So if we talk about guys who could actually be traded, it's probably Luke Kennard, just because if I know anything about this game, at the trade deadline, every playoff team, I should say, is always, hey, get us some more shooting for the bench, right? It's every team can use another guy who can put the ball in the hoop. And Luke Kennard, even though he's had issues staying healthy, he's been one of the best shooters in the NBA for where we're going on, almost a decade now. Of good shooting out of him. So that's the thing is, if you're Memphis, which it feels like for, all the way back to the Conley, Gasol, and Zebo years, it was like, can we get this team more shooting? Can we get them more shooting? Right? Yeah. So it feels like that's been like a thing forever. And I get it. Desmond Bane's a very good shooter. Jaren Jackson's very good shooter for a big man. But it feels like Kennard could play a real role on this team when they're ready to kind of flip the switch back to being a contender next year. So it would have to be the right offer. I'm not just giving them away. Like if somebody says, hey, here's a crappy second round pick, you don't need to do that. A week ago, I might've been a little bit more like, all right, let's get off the contract and reset things that way. Now I'm a little more open to keeping him.
Yeah. I think even once you find out what that pick is in the offseason, you potentially have another trade asset to compile with that pick to bring in somebody, because you have to send out money to bring back money. Yeah. I think people forget that. So he is, and then also you can let go of him if you need it to in the offseason. Worst came to worst. I know you just talked about the Steven Adams trade. I guess you spoke pretty highly of it. If you had to just give it a quick grade, just what would you give that?
Yeah, I mean, trade grades are something I try to avoid just because I feel like we never know the full story and we never know the full story till years down the line. But I would say I feel very good about the process for Memphis in that trade. I am not as concerned as it seemed like a lot of people were about what are they going to do at center next year.
Yeah,
I think you've got enough guys to kind of cobble it together. You have Jackson, you have Aldama. If they re-sign Tillman, you have him. Now somebody's you got Brandon Clark coming back. Right. He can play at the five in the NBA now. And center is a spot where it's really easy to go get a center in the NBA for, $3 to $5 million and feel pretty good about plugging them into your rotation. So that said, I like Steven Adams. I like what he brought to the Grizzlies, but we're talking about a guy who's probably a 20-minute a night guy on the high end moving forward. And that's, if you can't replace that, you're probably not doing things right. Yeah. And to get 3 second round picks, it feels a little weird only because Memphis is already in this little bit of a roster crunch, but what they do better than a lot of other teams, it's kind of like I have the Heat way up here with their development stuff. Then I have Memphis kind of right behind them, even if they've had a couple misses recently. I think what they do really well, especially with their two-way guys, is get them in the two-way system, run through, get them developed up, convert them, get them on the standard roster, move forward. I think what you could see is you use some of those picks, because they're not going to be great picks if they fall the way we think. That kind of can replenish in the back half of the second round, replenish the guys for your two-way spots, and you're just moving forward and kind of keeping that development machine cranking. And that's especially important as you trend into these years where you start to get more and more expensive. And let's see if we're a day and a half away from the trade deadline. If they turn Victor Oladipo into something too, then hey, that's even more. I mean, a lot of people have been asking me, like, why haven't they waived him yet? No need to. Just hang on to him through the trade deadline. And I'll bet you probably by this time next week, there's a good chance he'll be waived. They'll eat the contract. And then that opens a roster spot, which quite frankly, they really need if they want to get one of these guys converted, or if they like somebody who was on a 10-day and like, hey, we want to keep that guy, they'll be able to do that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith, I got a few more questions for you if you can hang out with me. But he is Keith Smith. You can follow him at Keith Smith NBA. He's a Spotrac. Is it Spotrac?
Spotrac.
Spotrac. I don't know why I say
Spotrac. You're almost. If I had a dollar for every time somebody asked me, I could retire and not have to work.
All right, Spotrac contributor. But you also do the front office show with Trevor Lane. And also something new that y'all just put out was some reading stuff. It's like, you know, a lot of your writing, Basketball Bulletin with Trevor Lane. And so you can go subscribe to that, his Substack. So go check out just at Keith Smith NBA. There's no reason to give out any URLs here. I don't need to give a spell out a full web address. Just go follow up his Twitter account and he'll be able to see everything. All right. So some of these I want to go through fairly fast because I don't want to keep you here too much longer, but there are some good ones here. A lot of it is about the trades. And so quick thoughts on GG Jackson. You know, Reese wants to know, you know, what do you think, just what he can become in the NBA? Just.
Yeah, I think it's going to take time with him, right? You see all the potential is there, but you can also see some of the wildness. I think his year in college was probably not a year well spent. I think he might have been a guy who maybe should have gone the G League Ignite route or something like that and learned how to be a professional a little bit more, because he went to South Carolina, right, took whatever shots he wanted to take. And really, it's now Memphis is, let's break some of these bad habits. But yeah, all the natural talent is there. I'm very, very high on GG Jackson. I've said for probably close to a month now, my goal would be he's got to play 20 to 25 minutes a night on the bare minimum side. You just find out what you have.
Yeah, for sure. All right, King Mix is asking, what do you think there are any big trades this year? Any like big names that might move?
Yeah, it's very interesting because things are a little bit quiet, especially on the big name front right now. Now, things will pick up tomorrow on Wednesday. That's when things start to get real serious. Then obviously Thursday morning through the deadline, things will get real busy. But we got to remember, we already saw Pascal Siakam get traded. We already saw OG Anunoby get traded. Right. I know it feels like it was a lifetime ago, but we saw James Harden get traded just a few months ago. So we've already seen some big names. Even Terry Rozier, that's a pretty big trade in terms of two guys who make $20+ million getting swapped. So we've already seen some pretty good size trades. That said, we might see another one or two, but mostly what we're hearing is sounds like a lot of teams might be, hey, we've got an extra big, we need an extra guard. Can we do a rebalancing type of deal between a couple of role players on teams? Maybe nobody who's going to swing playoff series or anything like that, but just, hey, let's rebalance our rosters out a little bit. And then you have teams that are, hey, we want to clear out some money to make a run at cap space this summer, or we've got tax issues that we've got to deal with. I think you're going to see a handful of the very much financially motivated trades, which I get it. People like me get all crazy and love them. Most of the fans are like, what in the world? Why? Like, why was this a thing? Which was kind of what we already saw with the Oladipo Adams trade, right? That was a little bit like, I saw a ton of people like, aren't both of these guys out for the year? Like, what is happening here? Why are they making this trade? And most of it was about finances.
Yeah. Yeah, it usually is. And those are the unsexy ones. But honestly, like, that's really what you see. If your front office is doing those, that just shows that they are moving the right direction, making those long-term goals, long-term moves. All right, so from Kenny, he's asking about if you're Zach Kleiman, you'd make a big push for like a Claxton at the deadline by any chance?
That one's tough because you got to re-sign him. And you would get his bird rights and you would be in position to have a leg up. But you just kind of cleared out some of your cap issue in your tax issue. And this is a team that is, I believe if I have this correct, they've only paid the luxury tax. It's either once or twice. They were barely in it. Yeah. And I don't know that they're going to be looking to jump right back into a big tax bill. And certainly I don't think they really want to be messing around as a second apron team, which was what they were quite frankly looking at with Adams on the books. So I think doing a move for a guy like Claxton sounds good until you have to pay him $15 to $20 million. Right. And you're going to have to probably do that next year just because that's kind of where he's at.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Grizz Girl's asking. You know, is there a gettable center for us? You know, because obviously there are some bigs in the NBA. You know, it is going the smaller route. But I think Jaren needs a big. So is there a center that you think would be gettable for the future? Because this year means nothing to us for the future.
Yeah, it sounds kind of maybe crazy, but you're probably not getting anybody who's like a young guy that you're going to be like, all right, this is our guy for the next 4 or 5 years. So I think you're probably in the mode of let's piece that together. The good news is you could kind of piece it together with guys like Andre Drummond, Mason Plumlee, Kelly Olynyk. Like, those are guys that could be like free agent targets that you could kind of make work. I think a guy like Daniel Tice could fit really well in Memphis. He's not somebody you're going to get at the trade deadline, but that's a guy you could get moving forward. And then I'm a fan of Xavier Tillman. I think Xavier Tillman's a pretty good player, and I would have no problem. But I think a guy like Andre Drummond could really help, because now the Grizzlies have, in my opinion, they've kind of got enough shooting that you could play a non-shooter at that center spot. And Drummond, if nothing else, that's a guy, you give him 20 minutes, he's getting you 10-plus rebounds a night. Like, he's just going to lock it in. And I think they're going to play small a lot at the five. Or it sounds weird to call Jaren Jackson Jr. small, but you know what I mean. Like, you're going to slide him over. I would guess moving forward, the idea is for him to probably play 20-ish minutes a night at the five, just to maybe that's a little high, maybe more like 15, kind of close each half out as the five, just because that allows him to get a lot more offense on the floor and those kind of things. And as much as, you know, everybody will chirp about defense wins championships, offense is what's winning right now, and you got to be able to put more offense on the floor.
Yeah, last question before you get out of here. One, thank you so much for kind of hanging out with us. I have a million more questions, but I'm not going to do that. I know you have a full week ahead of you. But just your overall thoughts on Zach Kleiman at the front office here and what he's done. We feel like he's done a really good job, but also Taylor Jenkins, because I know in some areas he isn't well liked because of, you know, maybe don't think he reacts quickly enough in a sense. But just overall thoughts on both Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah, I think it's been a really good marriage of the two. I think what you saw with the Grizzlies, which is, you know, I hope Memphis fans realize how fortunate they've been. They, in NBA terms, they were down for like 5 minutes, right? And then bounced right back. And part of that was they hit on their draft picks, right? They hit on the right kind of guys, you know, getting John Morant, getting Jaren Jackson Jr., and then obviously getting Desmond Bane at the end of the first round, which anybody who knows me, and if they don't, I'm a Celtics guy. I grew up just south of Boston, so I'm a Celtics guy, and there's Celtics fans, they love nothing more to bring up, you know, Boston had Desmond Bane, like, what were they doing? And even though that was a whole prearranged thing and they drafted him for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
But I think it really is a testament to – they committed to, we're gonna try to do this through the draft, right? We're not a glamour free agent market. We're gonna be smart about the trades we make, and we're gonna be really try to build and draft and develop. And they've done that. And I know there's frustration. I know enough Grizzly fans that I talk to that they're frustrated because Zaire Williams and Jake LaRavia and David Roddy haven't really panned out, but everybody has misses, and those guys were later picks. Zaire Williams kind of the middle of the round, but Roddy and LaRavia, those were late picks. Like, nobody bats 1,000 in the back half of the first round. And never mind, you know, once you get even later in the round. So I think, you know, they've got the foundational building blocks. I think they continue to make smart moves. That Adams trade, it probably doesn't feel like a whole lot to a lot of people right now, but I think when you see maybe what the long-term vision, what they turn that into, that's really good. And then again, we kind of started with it, is Taylor Jenkins has these guys playing hard, and that's a testament to him as much as anybody, because I mean, he's walking in the gym, I imagine every day, I'm like, all right, who can play? You know, who's got sneakers today? Like, well, let's go. Let's try to make it happen. And they're playing, they're not winning, but they're playing functional basketball most nights. And that's all you can ask for a roster that, you know, most of the guys probably still need to wear name tags to know who the other are.
Absolutely. Keith, can't thank you enough. If you want to hear more from Keith, but also Trevor Lane, check out the Front Office Show. Y'all have a trade deadline special. It's going to be at 1 Eastern, 12 here, Central Time Zone. In Memphis. And so go check that out, because obviously, Keith, you're a wealth of knowledge, but also someone that kind of gives it to me on my level. I need to have it explained out a little bit. And so you do an amazing job with that.
I appreciate that. It's because I'm not that smart, so I need it explained to me like that. So that's why I need it. But yeah, I appreciate, you know, you having me here. It was a lot of fun. And anytime you want to come on, if the Grizzlies do a lot here and there's, hey, explain this, just let me know. I'm happy to pop on with you guys and we can get into it. But I hope, let's have a real busy, crazy trade deadline, because that's part of what makes this silly league so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll be right back. We'll bring back Nate here. But Keith, can't thank you enough. Make sure you tune in. Go follow him at Keith Smith NBA.
Yeah, because Zach Randolph went into the Blazers organization that had some characters. Underline the word characters, right. Okay? He's coming from Michigan State. He's from Marion, Indiana. And then you go to Portland, Oregon, which it's an entirely different culture, entirely different demographic. He had people around him who were guys from Marion. Hey, you owe us. Anthony, one of the key memories of my time here in Memphis, off the court, I did a Read to Achieve event with Zach Randolph. And the kid who read the most books, his prize was to get to interview Zach Randolph. And the young man, first question to Zach is, what's the hardest thing for a black athlete to learn? And Zach did not give him any, you know, like BS fluff answer. Yeah. He said, a lot of times the people who say they're your friends, they're not your friends. And you have to pick the people around you very, very wisely.
Tune in to The Anthony Sain Show, Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Yo, we are back. Keith was awesome. Keith was probably a 100 out of a 100 compared to the 1 out of 100 that Twitter is, since it drops every single, it seems every 10 minutes Twitter drops. So I'm
preface every show with, come on YouTube, because Twitter can't keep up.
Yeah, Twitter cannot keep up. It's struggling. And so we're going to go ahead and get into what we have. But as Austin said, love Keith, man. He was he was awesome. Let's go ahead and get into Grizz trivia. Let's go ahead and get into a little bit more of our regular show. But before we get there, Nathan, do you want to talk about flowers?
What about flowers, Daniel?
Where do I hear that there is Valentine's Day coming up with flowers.
Well, let's be really clear. We don't celebrate that in the Qualls house. We don't do that. That's a made-up holiday. You're scammed no matter what's going on in your life.
Triple
but
the price.
If I was, I'd get them from Pews. Pews, residential spray. You know Pews. From flower shops to commercial landscape maintenance, Pews has been around for 30-plus years servicing the Mid-South. But did you know that Pews also does residential lawn care? Pews residential spray can take care of all your weed control and fertilization needs. If you want to create that perfect weed-free lawn, don't live in Colorado, so it's got to be, then call Pews Residential Spray today for a free estimate. 901-633-2118 and let them know that the Grizz 901 crew sent you. And remember, with Pews, you get big company strength, small company values. For real, let them know we sent you.
Do we want to know about who's coming on the show Thursday?
Not me. So who else?
I think it'd be important. Does everybody want to know who's on the show? Because I know I've talked it up a lot, but I really do think that everybody's going to be impressed with who we have on the show. So let's go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. We're going to have on Alan Bell from CBS, formerly with CBS. He's now with Driving the Line, which is a sports betting show. But you know who is his co-host? His co-host is Jonathan Coachman. The coach is going to be joining us. And so I'm going to have Alan Bell, but also Jonathan Coachman here. And if you know Coach at all, he's formerly with WWE, and I know wrestling is a big town with wrestling. It definitely resonates here. I don't even know if I said that right. But it is a he's a cool dude. Both of these guys are cool, and so we're going to be able to discuss a lot of, you know, the wrestling questions. Like, I know people are going to have them, and I've already apologized and said, hey, we're a wrestling town. We're going to have wrestling questions. I know, but I do want to bring them on for the fact that we're going to have them to talk through the Super Bowl. They're both big betting guys. I have won lots and lots of money through them. and because of that, I have come to know them in a sense. And so me and AB, Alan Bell, have become tight over the years, but they want to come on, and we're going to talk a lot about the Super Bowl, things that you might not know or might not realize about the Super Bowl, things that you can see and have fun because of it. Maybe you can bet on it if you're a betting person, but mainly we're going to just let them be on the show and you can ask the questions. And so they're excited. Listen, I've told them a lot about our comment section. Y'all did a really good job tonight. Finally, I was getting nervous. I was like, I don't have all these questions, but eventually y'all gave us so many, I was able to kind of move on. And so they will be just random questions. And so anything that you have, any questions at all, please go ahead and share them with us because I want to make sure we get into the questions for sure, because they're pretty good. Cool guys. It could get a little crazy in here for sure.
Yeah, that'll be a good time. Shout out to them. I'm going to be taking the evening away. It's the wife's birthday, which is the day after my birthday. So I will be doing birthday stuffs, a.k.a. sitting on the couch and eating Doritos. Every time I hear the Super Bowl, I think about Bobby Boucher and the Bourbon Bowl. Remember that time Bobby Boucher showed up and the Bud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl? I keep thinking about that. And I've got to watch Waterboy now. It's going to be in my head.
Wow. Wow. All right, let's go ahead and get to Grizz Trivia. All right, Nate, we have a good one tonight. All right, let me get to it. My phone
we'll
is
see
freezing.
About that.
This is a very hard one. Very hard one. I'm going to start off at hard level 10, and we'll kind of work it down with some clues.
Awesome.
But the Grizzlies have a former NBA Rookie of the Year that wore the number 13 for them. The jersey 13. There were only a few players who wore the jersey number 13.
Yeah.
Quentin Ross was one of them in Memphis Grizzlies lore. Xavier Henry, 2011. In 2015, a Tyrus Thomas, no clue. There's also a Jaren Jackson Jr. that took over that jersey from 2019 to 2024. But in 2014... there is a former Rookie of the Year that wore number 13. Do you remember who it is?
OJ Mayo.
Nope.
I don't know. Former Rookie of the Year.
Former Rookie of the Year.
He won Rookie of the Year with the Grizzlies.
Did he? You're asking?
Yeah, he wasn't Rookie of the Year with Memphis, right? He played for Memphis, but had won Rookie of the Year. Got it. Sorry. I don't remember what number OJ Mayo wore, but I was like, oh, Rookie of the Year, Grizzlies.
That information is wrong.
2014.
He wore number 13 in 2014, but he did win the Rookie of the Year with the Grizzlies.
No, he didn't.
This guy certainly did.
Oh my God. No, I have no idea.
Can the chat get it? This is this. I forgot about this. But yeah, this gentleman won the Rookie of the Year in 2001. He went on to wear a certain jersey for majority of his career. But when he came back, 33 was not available.
Oh, no way.
So he wore another number. Yep. He wore number 13.
I feel like I'm screwing this up in my head. I want to say Mike Miller, but that's no way that's right.
Maybe.
Who is it?
Mike Miller.
Is it really?
Mike Miller
won Rookie of the Year?
Mike Miller won 2000, 2001 Rookie of the Year. He was on the 2000, 2001 All-Rookie team. I want to give it away a little bit more and say he was a two-time NBA champion. But Mike Miller wore 33 for many years. And then whenever he came back, there was a guy with the name of Marc Gasol that was already wearing 33. Yeah. So he had to go to a 13.
Dude, I forgot he came back to Memphis almost. I forgot played back in Memphis again. That's crazy. That was a good one. That was a good Grizz trivia, Daniel. You did good.
Look at that.
You did good. That was a good one.
Hey, I'm winning. I'm winning, guys. All right. So a lot of cool things happening on our side of the 32. World.
He was 32. There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was 32. OJ Mayo was. So it's been a lot of good fun things behind the scenes for us on our side. Nate will not be joining me. I'm not sure who I'm going to have kind of fill in and help me. So kind of stay tuned for that because I don't want to have Coach and AB hanging around the entire show. They're special guests. They have a lot that they're doing prior to the actual Super Bowl. But if you do have any questions about the Super Bowl, make sure you come in and tune into that. But also, if you have any kind of wrestling stuff that you want to bring in, please do that as well. But William Hines hit it with Mike Miller, but also the Black Ninja DJ had Mike Miller as well. And so shout out to you guys for doing that. So, all right, anything else you want to hit on for this game? Because I don't want to spend too much time on it, but we didn't have a chance to talk about tonight's game. But any kind of thoughts overall besides Trey Jamison kind of standing out in the second half? It looked like he kind of found himself a little bit because the first half, he, you know, bad first half, zero rebounds. It wasn't what it wasn't beautiful, we'll say.
Had us in the first half, I can't lie. But the second half was awesome, man. And it's so hard with these guys. Even Vince, we've talked about this. Like, none of them are playing the role they really need to be playing.
Yeah.
So it's like, is it like, oh, this guy isn't any good? Or, oh, he's just in a spot he'll never be in again in his career or what?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Trey, I mean, I think he had 2 points in the first half, finished with 12. Was a rebounding machine in the second half. Finished with 7 rebounds. I don't think he had a rebound in the first half, maybe one. The slander said that he didn't have a single rebound. That's how I can remember that. So 7 rebounds in the second half. Vince looked off tonight, still had 19-5. Mm-hmm. A lot of good things from guys, truly. I mean, Gilliard keeps making a bunch of threes. If that dude was just anything other than the height he is, he could be an NBA player. I hate it for him. But Roddy looked good in the second half. Gigi was cooking in the second half. It was fun. Second half saved the day. They shot 50% from the field, 57% from three, which is insane, and lost.
Yeah, as the Black Ninja DJ is saying, you know, the second quarter did hurt us. I think that was the biggest thing. It looked like the turnovers that was happening was just the weirdest, because it just seemed like anytime we got down, like, we literally would just turn the ball over by trying to make these stupid pocket passes, and it was just dumb. I didn't love it, but let's go ahead and get into Trey Jamison a little bit. AC Surreal said Jamison serviceable, better than Biombo.
Jury's out.
I think that's the issue, because it's all about, can he catch? AC Surreal saying he can catch. My issue is, I don't exactly know what he does for you outside of just give you a big body and rebound. I don't know if that's it.
That's more than what Biz was doing a lot of the time, right? So it's his, what, second real NBA game? Because he barely played last time, that if he played at all. So it's like his second NBA game. It's just too early to say much of anything. But like, the second half activity looked like a guy who knew what he was doing, right? It wasn't like, oh, blind squirrel, nut, you know the rest. You know, it was, hey, he's making dribble moves, creating space on Hartenstein. He's coming in, getting in position to get rebounds. So it's like, it looked good, man. And he's a live body. It also helps that he's like, what, 21, maybe 22. Biz is not 21 or 22. So those knees got a lot more spring in them, to say the least. But listen, I've been big on Trey. I was, like I said, worried in the first half. But the second half is why I think myself and a lot of Grizzlies fans have been really high on him, is he gives you that live body bouncing around. He's going to just not get bullied, which he did in the first half a little bit, but second half he didn't get bullied at all. Right. And so jury's out, but I got a good feeling. You know, I thought he looked good in his limited minutes so far. And in the second half, it's hard to have a second half that makes up for the first half, and Trey, as well as the rest of the team, did.
Yeah, no, he played much better. He is a two-way player, as Austin's saying. And that's what I think he is. And I think he is the emergency break glass right now. That's where he is in his career. He's still young into his NBA career. He's still going to have that size. He's still going to have, you know, what he has right now. But if he can hone in his skills a little bit on the offensive end, being able to be a guy who can catch and dunk, be able to have somebody who can create space, whether it's through picks or whether he can learn to shallow out on the dunker spot or the on the you know the strong side, whatever it is, to be able to create that room, especially for a guy like Ja that he'll be playing with if he does play.
It feels like he's Tillman with upside, but potentially downside, right? Like the thing about Tillman that makes him so awesome is that he's just constantly doing his job.
Yeah.
Like Tillman is always where he needs to be doing what he needs to be doing. He may smoke a bunny or two, but you can count on him to be in position and do the right things. Jamison, you know, again, jury's out. Is he going to be in the right place? Is he going to be able to keep his feet up defensively? You know, we'll see what happens, but there's a potential that, hey, he can keep up defensively. He is going to always be in his spot doing his job, and he's got a lot more bounce than X does, and a lot more just pure athletic ability than X does as far as that goes. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's hard to say with any of these guys other than guys who are showing out like crazy. Like Vince, we've seen enough. Vince is going to play. He's going to be – he's going to be a top eight guy at worst and on this team and on a lot of teams. Gigi has clearly has the upside to most likely be an NBA guy. He's still yet to show it super consistently, but like if you were a betting man, which I know you are, the bet is that Gigi's going to be an NBA rotation player with high, high upside.
Very much so.
So outside of guys like that, though, it's like it's really hard to tell. I like what I've seen out of a lot of people. Like there's only two people that we have been like, hey, we're done.
Yeah.
Neither one of them's playing right now.
Right.
You know, so
I'm not sure if Gigi will be in your top 10 rotation next year if everybody's currently going to be healthy. But, well, you know, listen, it's for a whole nother year, it's for a whole nother many, many months. Many games will happen. And obviously, Gigi will get a lot of experience this year with potentially an offseason, and then you can build from that. But when I hit last thing with Trey Jamison, and this is from Dirty Rice. I haven't seen your name. Love the name. But I want to give you a shout out here. But he just joined. But just a nice comeback overall with the Grizzlies. What shows is the franchise, this team, it has heart. It has a lot of growth in coming back, even though, you know, honestly, the first half looked dismal because it was dismal. It was so many turnovers. But the future is bright. And Trey Jamison really was a bright spot in that second for sure. But let's go ahead and get into some other things I want to ask you about. And this is going to be the one that's probably the worst one. So I'm going to go ahead and lead off with it. I know you have no clue that it's coming, but I just want to ask the question. Should Derrick Rose retire?
I mean,
I'm being dead serious. It's not nothing against the guy.
I know you are. That's why it sucks.
I'm asking a legit question because he can't stay injury free. I don't know if it, you know, maybe an offseason helps.
Magic 8-ball. All signs point to yes.
Sheesh. That's the sad part of it too.
It's again, like I know a lot of people want him to do the Udonis Haslam thing. Like that's the extent of Derrick Rose at this point. It's
okay.
Like, he still showed. I mean, he had a nice move under the basket tonight, but it's, man, like he's always hurt for a reason, dude. His body's just, it doesn't have it, right? And if he can fit into Udonis Haslam type role where he's just the bench guy and the vet for the team, then that's awesome. The only thing I have against that is Udonis Haslam was a contributor for Miami Heat championships and was there for what felt like a lot of people's lifetimes. Like, I don't know how long he was a Miami Heat, but it was much longer than I feels like a lot of people live.
Yeah.
So he was there for forever. Derrick Rose came back this year. Like, it's, does he want to be a part of the organization like that? Like, maybe. And if he does and he fills that role, great. But like, if he doesn't, then it's just like, you don't keep a guy just to keep a vet.
Yeah. Right? That's I think that's where we're at is, listen, I think that he has the potential. The problem is with Derrick Rose, I don't think that he's a guy that you can really lean on in the playoffs. He would essentially be a guy that you could lean on in the regular season to give you, you know, spot minutes to help you just kind of get through some wins in the regular season. But unfortunately, I don't know if you need that or, and honestly, he can't give you that because he isn't somebody that you can lean on and say, hey, he's going to be there if we need him to be there in the regular season, because he can't stay injury free at the moment.
Derrick Rose's role on the Grizzlies is not to play basketball most likely going forward. I mean, and it sounds harsh. It does. And like, I don't like saying that. It makes me feel gross saying that.
I hated asking the question.
Dude, it's like when you're constantly hurt in the way he's been getting hurt, it's like, bro, it's more than just bad luck.
Yeah.
And that there's no shame in that, dude. Like, he's been playing basketball for a long time, overcome a lot of injuries. But at a certain time, it takes its toll on your body. So unless Derrick Rose gets some kind of, like, physical rejuvenation where he gets a second wind, like, the role is not to play basketball. And the signs are pointing towards his body's breaking down too much to really do that. And so just based off what we've seen so far this year, like, his role in the Grizzlies is not to play basketball anymore. And to be clear, it could just be the basketball god said, screw you, Grizz. You're going to win a championship in the next 2 years, so this year is going to be absolute hell. And maybe that's what happened. And Derrick Rose just happened to fall into that. But it's different than the other guys who are all young and have twisted an ankle or have dislocated a finger shooting a three-pointer, whatever it's been, right? He's aged and it's showing. And so the role is to be a vet, not to contribute much for basketball. If this team was fully healthy right now, roster as is, Derrick Rose is not getting a lot of minutes.
And that's the thing is like, if you can't count on him, then he really is just a locker room bench vet, which is fine. Like, having that on contender teams, contending teams, whatever, that is really what those kind of guys are there for. And they play one game every couple weeks, maybe every month. Unfortunately, he's your backup point guard. That's you know, and that's why I just think that it really hurts. I don't know, and I hate seeing him like this because he has flashes that are amazing, that he still has it. The problem is his body is failing him, and that's why I wonder. And the Grizzlies don't want to trade him. They don't want to release him. They don't want to cut him. That's why I didn't ask those questions, because they don't want to do that. I'm asking, is he at the point where he might need to retire? Potentially. I don't know if he's there yet. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. But, man, I just think that it's sad. And that's what I hate it. And just like Kenny was saying, it's just that one, it hurts. It really does. And so we'll see. But I do think that he can be important for this team for the future. But I also think that he can be a guy that has to kind of look in the mirror, especially in this offseason. Because he's not going to end up here in Memphis and be a guy like a Tony Allen who ends up living here, right? He's not going to be that type of a player. He's not going to be that vet. He didn't have that many years here in Memphis, okay? And honestly, he is beloved. But I don't think he spends and retires here and becomes maybe a coach here because he loves the city so much. It's not about that. I think when he does move on, he'll move on to back wherever he might want to go to, wherever he spends his most time. I don't know. But I'm curious what happens with D-Rose, but. Anything else you have on any of these guys before we get into kind of like just looking at this next game just in general?
No, that's it. Isn't it been fun not watching Zaire and Jake LaRavia play?
Man, it's been so good.
Sorry. That was petty. That was petty. Listen, I do hate the guys are always hurt, but I hope that they get healthy soon in Detroit or something.
Yep. All right. So instead of taking a break, I don't want to do that. I think we need to go ahead and get into just the next game and discuss that. I'm going to look through real quick and try to see if I can find my Heaven's Healthy Kitchen real quick, because Heaven's Healthy Kitchen, as you all know, has a pop-up that is on the way. I don't know why it always looks like that, but it is for Valentine's Day. The pop-up event is on Valentine's Day. So make sure I talked to Heaven's Healthy Kitchen today. Make sure you get your pre-orders in now. The last day to do the pre-orders is going to be February the 12th. And so if you get that in, I promise you, you will get the delicious food that comes with it. But Heaven's Healthy Kitchen, it's a grassroots business that was started right here in Memphis. Chef Smith is a Memphian and promotes that healthy eating and wellness. So are you looking to also cook at home? Because this is something that I know a bunch of you jabronis out there need. You need a cookbook. Well, go ahead and look it up and just go over to Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. You can find them at orderhhk.com, but you can get it right off of Amazon. There'll be links there for it, whatever you might need. But go ahead and download the cookbook today. I promise you, you bunch of goons actually need it. Shout out to the goon. He's missing tonight, unfortunately. But Heaven's Healthy Kitchen continues to do monthly pop-ups, so stay tuned after this Valentine's one. But go support our guy, our friends over at Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. You can order it at orderhhk.com, serving and catering plant-based and vegan gourmet foods straight to you. Listen, it's all about healthy food, okay? Healthy food. And so we want to make sure we support the healthy food that is from there. I don't know why it does that. Why does it do that?
Just screwing.
Just moves. I never know. So guess what, Nate? You don't get to do this, but I do. Guess what happens next Monday, this upcoming Monday, before Valentine's Day, the last day to pre-order for Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. Do you know what I get to do and you don't?
I don't know. Be fat? What?
Listen, I'm not going to be fat. You know why? Because I'm going to eat Heaven's Healthy Kitchen live here on the show. We have a game Monday, and I talk to him, and I get to eat and try every single meal. Just a little bit. You don't get it. I do. I'm going to try
every meal.
Yeah, there's those three options. So if you go over to Order HHK right now, you can look at all of the options that is available.
I know Heaven's Healthy is healthy, but if you're eating three meals, like that's a lot of caloric intake.
Small portions. Okay. Small portions. They have lasagna, spaghetti, okay, and then there's a chicken pasta. All of them come with dessert. Okay, buddy. 20 bones, okay, baby.
Buddy. Okay, buddy. All right. I saw a couple of comments I want to bring up.
All right, let's go.
Let me see. Actually, I'm not going to be petty. I'll just pull up the one here because I think it's a good point from Dirty Rice. Again, that's an awesome name. I got Louisiana roots, so that makes me really happy. Zion Jake is definitely a hard sell. But what happens here is the Pistons, who have no intention of winning games, clearly, I don't know. Have they won their third yet? I'm sure they have. They are not in a position to compete, so they're just going to build up assets. And so what you do is you attach picks to that, and then you send it over, and then they see if maybe they can get something out of Zaire or Jake, whatever, whoever they might take. But the real return for them is the picks, right? Just like when we traded for Iguodala, the return was for picks. We didn't want Iguodala. He clearly didn't want us. So we just got picks out of it. It'd be the same thing for a Detroit or for another team in that scenario. So Grizzlies get off of the contracts. Then the Pistons in this situation is what's been rumored, get some assets out of it. And then potentially you get a reclamation project that actually works out, which does happen every once in a while. Lauri Markkanen once upon a time was a very disappointing draft pick. Not very disappointing, but disappointing at least a little bit. So that's where that comes from. And listen, quite frankly, I don't really get, like, I don't care what someone's drinking to take Zaire and Jake. At this point, I'm coming off the contracts. And truly, like, I know it can come off as like personal stuff, truly. And it's not. It's the team is hamstringed by bad contracts. So if you get off of those, all of a sudden you have money that you can actually work with and do something with it. So, I don't care. There's plenty of guys like Derrick Rose. I don't care that Derrick Rose is on the team right now and he's not contributing because I don't think the Grizzlies are hamstrung by that contract. Zaire and Jake, they're hamstrung by. So that's why I wanted out. I feel you truly and Goon was hanging out. You just don't want to tell us with JJJ. Listen, I was hoping Goon would be in here because I was going to be like, bring up the play better without Jaren stuff tonight. Daniel will tell you, I don't care enough to have a burner. Like, it is far too much effort and energy to have a burner, but listen, I'm hoping JJJ and Goon are becoming friends. That's the new goal for the show.
Get them to be friends?
Get them to be friends. Do a little meet and greet, and all of a sudden Goon becomes the biggest Jaren Jackson Jr. fan there is.
All right, so looks like we have a winner for who gets to be my co-host. Me and Kenny have never done a show together, and so I saw this. I want to have him do it.
Emasculate him, Kenneth.
And so Kenny wants to come on and be the co-host on the next show. So the next show we will have,
I'll tune in,
will be Thursday, and we're going to have, obviously, we're going to have Alan Bell, formerly with CBS, but also now with Driving the Line, but also the coach is going to be with us. And so a lot of good stuff. Last thing I'm going to do is hit the like button before we get to the last thing, and we're going to speed through this last thing. The Bulls game preview.
Speaking of which, Bulls just pulled off the comeback victory in the fourth. And I got to tell you, Cat did that hit a three to go up by 8 or 9 in the fourth and did his little like, I'm too good little step back. And I was like, dude, that's a death sentence. And sure enough, the Bulls come back and win it. Let's go. I love it when that happens. Drop 62 in a loss.
Bulls win 129-123, and so shout out to them. So any expectations you're seeing for this game at all? Because honestly,
I'm looking at this. It is. What is up with Jaren? I didn't even look at the injury report before the game today. Straight up.
So he's still out with the same thing, but he was on doubtful, so I'm guessing they're wanting to promote him next time to questionable is what my expectations should be.
I mean, the Grizz are always behind the eight ball, you know. I'm going to be honest, like in the first half, I was really buying into what you and I talked about on the last show, which is they're just tired, man. It's just you're playing as hard as you can every night and you're at such a talent deficit. It's just too much to overcome. But then you see what happens in the second half. You're like, okay, maybe they still got some dog left in them. So you get Jaren back. That's a huge boost because now you have a bona fide NBA star to go to, right? I'm not going to say superstar, but top three on a good team guy. And then you go back to Jaren, you have that. Everybody else can start playing in more of an actual role.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know. Like, it's a game that I think could be good for Memphis, but you just don't know, man. It's just so hard for this team right now. They've been competing night in and night out for the most part, with a couple obvious ones that they just – eventually got blown out in, but we'll see. It's in Memphis, which is helpful because I hate watching games on the Bulls court. I don't know what it is about it, but it just like makes me want to go to sleep. It's just like a depressing vibe. I don't know what it is. I've never been in the actual Airlines Arena, so I don't know. Like, it might be amazing in there, but just watching on TV, I'm like, oh god, this is making me seek the forever nap. I don't know, this is rough. So since it's on a Grizzlies court, you got the bright blue. Keeps you happy.
Well,
good mental health.
Have you seen the new court?
Oh, is that next game?
That is the next game.
Okay, so now we're Brooklyn. Okay.
Cool. I was about to say, I was wondering if anybody saw that.
No, it'll be I think it could be a lot of fun. Like, I look forward to tuning into all these games until I don't. You know, it's like you tune in. The Boston game was the only one. I was like, I don't know about this. So I was like, this is probably not going to be all that fun. It turns out it wasn't. But then games like tonight, I was excited. Then I was miserable. And then I was excited again. Like, it's going to be how it goes with this team. If Jaren plays, I think it'll be a fun game. I think they get in there and compete. Okay. If he doesn't play, I have a feeling that they could still compete, but you're just so behind the eight ball with a team that doesn't know where they are. So they're going to play hard.
No, I agree. Listen, in the end of the day, this is what it's all about. Grit and grind, baby, as Austin says.
It's the fans. If you're watching these games, you are part of the grit and grind era. It's a new grit and grind year.
Yes, the Grizzlies are the most injured team in history. I don't know that, but I think they're getting close if they're not already there. But definitely, listen, if you're tuning these shows once, I can't thank you enough because we wouldn't be here without you guys. If you would, do us a favor, hit the like button on the way out. But make sure you also keep tuning in. We'll give you a little bit of an update. So Thursday, we do have the show. Nate will not be joining us. I believe Kenny will join me as a co-host as I bring in both Coach, but also AB. But then Saturday, it's at the Hornets. It's a 6 o'clock game on a Saturday. You know, on the Saturday, the Hornets suck. The Grizzlies suck. I don't know if we're going to have a show. Let's just, you know, let's just be honest about it. It is the last weekend game of the entire month of February. So I think it allows us to get into these next games. And after that, you have, you know, three games in 4 days starting Monday to Thursday. So from the 11th, I'm sorry, the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, you have three games in those 4 days. And because of that, I think we're going to take Saturday off. Just kind of just let everybody know that. But after that, listen, last game's on the 15th, and then they don't play again until the 23rd. So the All-Star break is coming for rest in general, probably for mental health for probably a lot of these guys, let's just say, because they're probably going through it. They need a little bit. But what I'll say about what we have upcoming is, listen, like the trade deadline is done for the Grizzlies. Not because of the trade deadline has happened. I'm talking about on the court, the trade deadline is done. They now have from now all the way until, I believe it's 2 p.m. Central is the trade deadline. It is absolutely just done. Nobody is hurt. Nobody got really hurt. So everybody, for the most part, is available to be traded. And so we're going to see, you know, what happens in general. But in the end of the day, the trade deadline is done. But unfortunately, Ethan Porter, this might be one of my favorite. When Charlotte comes in, we're actually going to Charlotte. So we have to figure out how to go to Charlotte. But then we need to kidnap Nick Richards and leave a ransom note with a real trade offer for him. Listen, that has so much potential. We're already going there. So you know he's going to be there, right? We'll just leave the ransom note there with the trade offer that they have to take. And that'll be a Zaire and a Jake for Nick Richards. So shout out to you, Ethan Porter. But man, anything else you have, Nate? I know it's been a kind of a crazy show. And honestly, give me your all feedback before I get out of here. I want to share this. Give me your feedback. We do want to try to have different people on for these shows. For one, the Grizzlies, we can talk about it and we can discuss about the Grizzlies in general. It's going to be a lot of what your comments are, such as what Key Mix is asking about. You know, how do we feel about Doc Rivers coaching the, you know, the All-Star games like that? Those kind of questions and comments, you know, are going to help this show as we move on through the rest of the season. But I think that we could figure out a way to bring different people on, such as we're doing for Thursday, you know, leading up to the Super Bowl, which is a big event. Doing things like that. So if there's anybody that you have in general that you want to have us bring on, let us know, whether it's in the comments, whether it's in the comments after the show, whether it's over at Grizz901 Live, make sure you do that. But the other thing I'll say is we do have a Discord over with Bluff City Media. It does have a Grizz901 channel in it. They just created it, I would say, a few days ago, not too long ago, I don't believe. But that's where we're going to give away a lot of the information that we might be having, maybe people that are coming up, we're going to share. And what it is, it's a premium, you know, I guess, status, is a premium, thing that you can have with Bluff City Media. But you get to be in the Discord with all of us. It does cost $5 a month. So if you don't want to pay it, I get it completely. But it does have, if you're a Tigers fan, it does have a lot of good insight on the Memphis Tigers and stuff that you might not already know. So if you want to join, go ahead and go over to bluffcitymedia.co and you can find it over there, a way to join. But we do have a Grizz901 channel. We love to be able to have you in, talk with that. We're going to try to build that a little bit. And if for some reason that doesn't work, if we need to branch off and go do something else, whatever, let us know. But we want to make sure that we're hitting on everything. But anything else you got, Nate?
I'm just looking at this real quick. Let me make sure. 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th.
Hey, while you're doing that real quick, 14th, Austin, as asking about Monica McNutt. Listen, I spoke with her and she, I want to be as open and honest as I can be. Where is Monica's email real fast? I think I might have deleted it. I'll have to go back and find it real quick. But Monica was actually not calling the game tonight for the Knicks. And so she wasn't even there. And she is actually, I can't remember where she said she is, but she's on assignment. I believe it's with ESPN. So she had no way of being able to schedule it and do it with us. And so, listen, I love her. She is so busy right now. If you follow Monica McNutt at all, she's kind of on the ascension. And when you're on the ascension, it's hard to get these people because they're being pulled in so many different directions. And so I would say look at, probably won't be this year because it doesn't deserve it. I don't think we're the hot thing right now in general. But I would say next year, count on it. I'll have Monica McNutt back on the show again. We'll have her for sure. But yeah, I apologize. I couldn't get her. I didn't realize that she wasn't even going to be calling the Knicks game tonight anyway.
Speaking of us not being the hottest thing this year, do you know how many games the Grizzlies have missed to injury as a Spotrac?
I really thought it was Spotrac. So it's Spotrac.
Yeah, Spotrac.
So you say the T twice. Put two Spot T's track. In there.
So according to Spotrac, how many?
238.
Games? Spotrac. You were close to being close. 282 games missed to injury. Second place is 199. That is a difference of 83 games, which is the same as the difference between second and 15th. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
How much money just sitting on the bench and how many games. Like when Keith talks about it being truly absurd, the injury situation in Memphis, I'm sure there's been some kind of crazy season before in NBA history, but this has got to be like borderline historical amount of injuries and games missed. So shout out to all you guys and gals still coming out, hanging out with us.
For sure. And I don't know what you're talking about here, King Migs. Do they have to be local or can they be in different cities? Oh, the people. Yeah, they can be wherever. Any talent at all. And you're saying bring on the Knights. I'm guessing this is Brevin Knight, maybe. I don't think we can get Brevin Knight on the post game show, but you might get a lot of Brevin Knight soon. I don't know. But I will say that we're gonna try to get as many people as we can on. But I just don't some people we can't. So we do have a plan to bring on Devin Walker. He has agreed to do it at some point. We have John Roser has agreed. And so a lot of these are going to have to be away games, especially when, Devin doesn't travel for Devin Walker. So listen, send us names. I'll be more than happy to chase them down. I've got connections enough to be able to get some people. I just don't have that many connections, but I do have friends that have connections. It's not mine. It's theirs. I just use their connections.
And to be clear, Brevin is contractually obligated to not come onto our postgame show.
He literally
does a postgame every night with Batley. So that is not going to happen. Maybe a summer edition or something like that.
I can't get him or Fish or even Verno for a postgame. Like, it's impossible. They do it every night, I believe. So,
yeah. Maybe a summer edition. We'll see.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. That's all we got. It's been a good night. It's been fun. We went over, obviously, a long time. I knew you weren't going to be on the next show, so I knew you wouldn't mind going over a little bit. But
yeah, I do.
But tonight has been fun. Tonight's going to be good. Make sure you tune in and check out our friends over at Heaven Southern Kitchen. Get your pre-orders in right now. It's really good food. It's healthy food. But go ahead and get your pre-orders in before the 12th is the deadline. You get anything in after that, that's on you for missing out. Don't miss it. It's $20 a meal. You get a very good meal, whether it is the chicken pasta, the lasagna, or the spaghetti. You can pick it up from his live event. Just go over to orderhhk.com. Pew's Residential Spray, as always, a proud sponsor of ours. They're always doing good things with us. So make sure you do and go sign up for them. I've spoken a lot of good things about y'all, and they've been here watching the show a lot of times. So go do that. Last thing is not Pew's over that, but it is the Streetcars of Memphis. Go ahead and call them up and get you an oil change for sure. Last thing, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central, Bluff City Media will have an NBA trade deadline special. We're going to have a show just as we do right now. It'll have different guests on throughout the day, different hosts. I'll be hosting for, I think, 2 of those hours at some point. with different people. We're going to try to bring on different people within the NBA. I don't even know who that is at this moment. So go ahead and join us if you can. Throughout the day, just pop in, pop out whenever it's possible. But we're going to have that going. Hopefully that Twitter stays up. Who knows? Maybe they'll get the feel of Twitter dropping out every other few minutes. But the NBA trade deadline special is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can find it right here on Bluff City Media YouTube. All right. That's all we have. DeMichael Cole, I will try. John Martin, Jeff Calkins. These are great names. Great names. All right. We'll do our best. We'll try to keep you entertained throughout the rest of the year. I'm going to write these names down after we get off the show and see if we can start getting some feelers out there. But already have DeMichael definitely going to be on the show, but he does stuff after the game. And so it has to be on an off day. And so I feel bad about asking him to come on an off day, but you know what? He said he would. So we'll get him. But that's what we get. Be nice and tell your friends.